morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. I should say, maybe just for historical purposes, we are located on the Lawrence Welk Highway, for those of you that remember Lawrence Welk days. But if not, this is Program 100. This is Sunday morning, and this is the Cup of Goodness, where we are talking about the goodness of God. And when people say, boy, isn't God good? I have to say, I really don't think that most of those folks that say that have any clue about the goodness of God. The goodness of God is a dispensation of grace to the Gentiles through Paul, King James Bible, rightly dividing. It's the eyes of understanding being enlightened. It's the riches of understanding. It's the peace of God, the peace from God, the peace with God, and having the God of peace, because Paul's the one that introduced you to the risen Savior, not the apostles introducing the Jews to the earthly Jesus, to their Messiah, who they eventually ended up killing. And then Stephen the preacher, thus Christ had to go to Paul to get out to the Gentiles, because obviously the Jews were not interested. So here we are. This is Program 100, and we are in Ephesians chapter 5. And what's going to happen here today, folks, is we are going to springboard into another subject for a couple days. We're going to start it up today, and then we'll continue this on Monday. Now, our Sunday programs have been dealing with the book of Ephesians. But when we get to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, we get into a subject that I could preach on, I could teach on, I could go to workshops, I could go to Bible conferences all year and talk about. Is it the King James Bible? No. Is it about salvation? No. How about Paul rightly dividing? No. It's about music. We see in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's go back to verse 18. This is where we left off last week on Sunday. And he says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, he doesn't end it with a period. He continues it with a semicolon. And he goes right in to speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are seeing that the music that we perform or play, listen to, hear, has everything to do with being filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, it has everything to do with verse 10 in chapter 5, where it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. If our music that we play, perform, listen to, hear, sing ourselves, whatever, is acceptable unto the Lord, that's pleasing to God. And that subject is, I think, the second biggest subject in the Bible. There's over 500 verses in this Bible that deal with music directly. It's a fantastic study. Well, let's get started. I'm just going to drop a couple statements to you this morning, a couple questions, a couple statements of facts, and then starting Monday, I think I'll jump into some different subjects that I have that we can talk about that I think you'll find very interesting when it comes to music. And you'll see by the time we're done here this morning some of the questions. I hope I can make you thirsty to hear the Bible teaching about music. So we're going to go to verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, another semicolon, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Semicolon, keeps going, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, there's some key words in these verses. Let me point them out to you. And these are worth a word study, which we won't do this morning. We certainly don't have the time to do that right now. You do. You just get your concordance out. Go right to these verses. Find the verses on the following points here. First of all, speaking to yourselves. What does that sound like? Speaking to yourselves. Then he goes with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Then he talks about singing. And he says, making melody in your heart, and then giving thanks. This all has to deal with being filled with the Spirit. So let's look at these for a couple minutes here. Let's go right to the big one, melody. King James Bible is the only Bible, here we go again, that uses the word melody. The Bibles I've looked up to all say music. You're taking the word melody, and you're dropping a specific element of music, and substituting all music, then you have knocked out the element of music that pleases God. If we go back to Daniel chapter 3, let's go back to Daniel chapter 3. You know the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and all those guys, that whole story. Go back to Daniel chapter 3, and you will see that this type of Antichrist, Nebuchadnezzar, he says to David and he says to these people that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, which is a trombone, by the way, psaltery, dulcimer, and then he says, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And he says it in there three more times. What he's saying here is, listen, when you guys hear these particular instruments, and then he generalizes the whole entire thing and all kinds of music. All kinds of music. Do you know what all kinds of music means? All kinds of music. If you could see the list of genres, I think that's the word they use for the music, the different styles of music, the different music based on all the different nationalities and the continents and the countries, and the, it's just an amazing all kinds of music. So this Antichrist type here, this Nebuchadnezzar, is telling people, listen, when you hear all kinds of music, you're going to bow down and worship my image. So we should be able to realize and think here that here we have a Bible that says melody, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And you've got all the modern Bibles that without a doubt in the previous 99 programs, I've been talking about how all the churches and all the Christianity today is being molded after the teachings from the Antichrist, from the devil himself, who wants to be like the Most High, and he's getting everybody set up. So when he comes back in Revelation chapter 6, everybody will be there to worship his image and to worship him. That's what he wants. And when you hear the word worship today, you should be thinking of the word music. What do they say in the churches today? Come to our house. Come to our church. Come to our temple. Come to our place and worship with us. Throw out your doctrine. Quit getting this denominational issues going here. Just come and worship and praise God with us. We have worship teams. We have worship leaders. We have worship services where the preaching is maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes, but the music, the worship, goes on and on and on. Come to our church. All the walls are taken down, and come and we can worship in our church. We can sing. You can come to your church and worship and sing. It's just music. And listen, going from melody in your heart to the Lord, to the worship that's going on in the churches today, that is a huge jump. Or should I say, that is a huge fall. I'm not sure that everybody even understands the three basic elements of music. You've got melody, which is the part that most people just sing. You just hear the words and you sing along, and it just helps you learn those words. And you sing solo by yourself or whatever. It's a solo part. It's an individual part. You've got harmony, where people sing two or three or four different notes at the same time and create this harmony that makes everything sound good. That's where choir, soprano, alto, tenor, bass comes in. This is where you have different brass and woodwinds and clarinets and trombones and piano. Everybody's playing different things. They're playing with harmonies. And if they're a good harmony, they sound fine. And if they're a bad harmony, it's called dissonant. It doesn't sound good. All sorts of things. And then you've got the rhythm. You've got the beat. You've got that pulse. You've got the driving beat behind the music. Or you just have to count your music. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the rhythm. That's the beat. Okay, so if you were to go back and you study music, and you go back, you can take music all the way back to Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. If you go back with those folks, you will realize that Japheth is the European, Shem is the Oriental, and Ham is the African. Now, if you go back from today and you study Oriental music, and you study the history of European music, and you study the history of African music, you will see some obvious conclusions. Now, let me preface this whole next point here with the fact that this is not meant to be any kind of a racist teachings. This is not white supremacy. This is not racial, any kind of raciality against the blacks or against the Orientals. Okay, you've got to realize I'm just talking about history here. If you go back and you study Oriental music, you will realize that their music is all over history has been dealing with melody. Their music is very melodic. If you go back and you study the European music over the history, you will find that their music has been basically always centered around harmony. You take the melody and you add all these chords and all this harmony to the music. You've got different instruments all producing different tones, different notes at the same time, all in harmony. And if you go back and you study the African music, their music has always been rhythmic oriented. They never cared about melody. They certainly didn't care about harmony. They just had the drums and they had all the rhythms that were taking place. And that's all their music basically is centered around. Okay. Now, if you go back and you look at the Oriental music, that Oriental music has pretty much been the same through all of their history. And if you go back and you study the African music, you will see that their music has been the same, hasn't changed much, not very much variation from it. But if you go back to the European music, you see a progression from one note to two notes, and there's musical terms for all this stuff, three notes, four notes, harmonies, that their music, like I said, is all centered around harmony. They've got a flute, piccolo, alto flute, tenor flute, bass flute. They all produce harmonies. Do you see my point here? If you study this music, you see something. The Oriental music, like I said, hasn't gone anywhere. It's been the same. If you study the African music, it's the same. But if you study the European music, it's a constant progression of growth. You go from the Dark Ages, Middle Ages time. Then it goes into a time called the Renaissance. Then it goes into a time called the Baroque. Then it goes into a time called the Classical. Then you've got the Romantic, meaning dealing with the feelings and the emotions. Then you've got the Modern and Popular. You got the Frank Sinatra era. That's a good, this was one of the words I can use, Bing Crosby, whatever. With those things in mind, let's think about the melody. It involves spiritual things. Oriental are very spiritual people. And of that Oriental crowd comes the Jews, comes the Israelite. You study that music and you hear all those different melodies going on. You go back and you study the European music, all these harmonies dealing with emotions. You got sad music, you got happy music, you got angry music, you got tense. All the emotions that mankind has comes from harmonies. And then you get into the African music and you've got that rhythm, which is just the beat. Okay. If you study African music, the issue is where has it been over history? You'll see that it started in Africa. You'll see that it came over to the Caribbean, came over to Louisiana, Mardi Gras, the stuff we have going on today, got involved with Louisiana. And then it went up the Mississippi River, and it got into Chicago, and out of that comes jazz. Out of that jazz comes rock music. If you take the Oriental music, where has it been? It hasn't been anywhere for hundreds and hundreds of years, but suddenly it's come about in America with what we call New Age music today. You've got the Native American music. You've got the spiritualistic stuff. You've got these melodies that you play along with. You hear the ocean flowing. You hear thunderstorms, and that's what they call New Age music. And see, that deals with the melody, that deals with spiritual things, that deals whatever it is, that the spirit of God or whatever it is, but all this oriental music is dealing with spiritual things. And then you go to the European music, these harmonies that are influencing our mental, our mind, our emotions. So what you're seeing here is you're seeing the European music, it affects our mental, it affects our emotions. You're seeing the Oriental music, the melody affects us spiritually. And you see the African music, the beat, the rhythm of the music affects our physical, our flesh. We want to march, we want to jump, we want to dance, we want to rock and roll, we want to twist, we want to just get up and move to the rhythm. If you play melodies to a baby, they'll fall asleep. If you play harmonies to to a baby? Well, it depends about what the harmonies are. If they're dissonant, if they're popular, if they're nice and soothing, that can affect the baby. But you put rhythm to a baby, they can't sit still. It affects us physically. Okay, here's my point. In verse 19, we see that he says singing and making melody. Okay, now if I were to hum a few melodies, which I'm not going to do, sorry to say, you would instantly recognize that song or some kind of a hymn of some sort. You would recognize the melody. But if I were to play some harmonies, you might not recognize the tune. But if we take that melody and we add some harmonies to it, an alto singing with a soprano, it can add that pleasant sound. It can add peace. It can add emotions to that music. But if I pump up the rhythm, that will get you to respond physically. Now, the Bible talks about us physically as flesh. We have our flesh. We have our physical body. Now, music involves melody, harmony, and rhythm. But see, if God says he wants to hear this melody, and what we have going on in our churches and all over our world today is music, rhythm, melody, and harmony. If it's in balance, there's still not a problem. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, however. And if the music is out of balance, then it's going to get us off of balance. You know, it's going to catch us. If we just listen to harmonies and get into the emotional aspect of music, we can be swayed with our emotions, with our feelings. If we just listen to melody, well, we can get involved with spiritual matters, but what spiritual matters are you getting involved with? Hindu spirit? New Age spirit? God's spirit? What kind of spirituality you're coming up with this New Age music? And if you get involved with the rhythm, what are you getting involved with? You're actually feeding and enjoying your flesh. What are you getting at here with this thing? Well, if God says he wants to have melody made in our hearts, and our music today is rhythm-oriented, and we're jumping up and down and hooping and hollering and banjoating and guitaring and rocking and rolling, then we're not singing melody in our heart. We're singing rhythm. We're singing the beat, if we're singing at all. And do you think people are paying attention to the music? Do you think people are paying attention to the words? They're paying attention to the beat. They're letting the beat lead them along. Is that a problem? It's the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing, but the Lord says. You're just having a great time, and you're just jumping up and down. You're rocking and rolling, see? Now, here's still the point I'm trying to get. Why do these modern Bibles take the melody out of this verse when the melody is what God wants to hear from our hearts? And he says it can be heard in psalms, it can be heard in the hymns, and it can be heard in the spiritual songs. He wants to hear melody. He's not getting melody today. He's getting harmony in the fancy churches, in the orchestras, in the choirs, in the tabernacle choirs, in this fantastic, gorgeous performance that's going on in a lot of these big major churches. Is he impressed with these harmonies? Is he impressed with these arrangements? I'm just saying here that there's something to look into when it comes to these harmonies. Are they consonant harmonies? Are they dissonant harmonies? Do they affect you? Do they lead you with your feelings? Do you get carried away? Do you get swooned? Do you get seduced? Seduced? Where have you heard that before? Well, I've heard that in Timothy, where it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Do you suppose that music can be used to seduce you away from the truth? How about the beat? How about the rhythm? If the rhythm is emphasized, that rhythm is getting you to respond physically and fleshly, can that lead you to false doctrines? Can it lead you away from the truth, even though you're just having a grand old time, hopping up and down, running around the church, and getting caught up in this music that sounds so fantastic? I mean, these quartets and these quintets and these bass singers, all this harmony stuff. Oh, it just sounds so fabulous and fantastic. But see, what we want to know here is it acceptable unto the Lord? Just because we like something doesn't mean that God does. And this takes us on to the subject of the authority of a Bible. What does the Bible say about music? Interesting, isn't it? If we go to the book of Amos, for example, I'll show you something in the book of Amos. God says in Amos chapter 5, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. He is not happy with what his people are doing in their tabernacle, in their temples. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. He doesn't want to hear from them anymore. Now listen to this verse. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. There's even a case where God did not like what these people were playing with their instruments. Well, that's interesting. God wants melody, and he wants the right kind of melody. God is God, and he's pure, and he's holy. I just can't picture, here we go, I just can't picture Jesus coming down and whooping and rocking and rolling and just wailing away this music that's going on. Well, how can you say that? You're just a grumpy old man. No, I've studied melodies. I've studied rhythm. I've studied harmonies. I've looked at the Japheth music. I've looked at the Hamite music. I've looked at the Shem music. I've looked to see what that Bible says about music. Over 500 verses. Now, Monday, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm going to make some statements that I hope I can get you to be interested in looking to see what the Scriptures say about music. It's not what I say about music, it's what the Scriptures say. Scriptures meaning King James Bible. Because your modern Bibles will not say melody. Your modern Bibles will say the word music. And the modern Bibles will take what David said about music to praise God. And I'll show you how one little comma, adding a comma, and throwing in one word can make it look like David played the kind of music that's going on in churches today. And that all this contemporary Christian music is okay because David did it. No, David did not do it. And I have to show you in the King James Bible what I'm talking about here. What about Paul? What did Paul teach us about music? Well, let me ask you this. What do you think Moses taught us about music? Moses taught us a marvelous truth about music in our churches. What about Daniel? I mentioned what Daniel says about music, all kinds of music. And we're reading what Paul says. But Amos, what did he say? Moses, what can he teach us? What? This is an interesting subject. There was a time in the Old Testament, he said, I'm not going to hear the melody of thy viols. He didn't even like their melody. Can the music that you're listening to rob you of anything? Can the music you're listening to or playing or performing, can it rob you of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Can that music spoil the fellowship you have with God? Can it even rob you of that fellowship? Can the music you're listening to or playing today, can it affect your personal meditation, study time? Can it affect the truth in your life? Can the music you're listening to that's being played in your home or in your CD player, even in your church, can it even rob people of a true heavenly and eternal citizenship for you, your wife, your family, your children? What kind of damage can the music that's going on today do to your children? Or does it not do any damage? Is music just a neutral thing in our lives today? Listen, you can't go anywhere today without music being there. It's just absolutely everywhere. Can the music that you're listening to affect God's counsel in your life? Can it affect your eternal inheritance? And the music in your life, do you think it can even affect your, can it rob you of your praises to God? If you think you're praising God, you think the devil can rob those praises by making your worship be the kind of worship that God doesn't want to hear? Do you think that's possible? Oh man, Paulson, you're really off base when it comes to Paul and rightly dividing in King James Bible only. And now you're going to talk about music like it's a problem? Look at all the people that are coming to your church because of the music. Is that true? Look at the great time you're having with your music. It just gets you going for the day. It just keeps you going through the day. And it just keeps you all fired up for God. Is that true? Is that what's going on with your music? Well, the only thing to do is to find out if your music is acceptable unto the Lord, obviously, is to check the scriptures. And we've already seen where the modern Bibles take the word melody out of your Bible and insert the word music. And we've also seen this morning where the Antichrist, the type of Antichrist of Nebuchadnezzar, says, listen, all kinds of music, you're going to bow down to me. That's a pretty good start for our 100th program. What we're going to do here is we're going to get into this subject of music for our 100th program. We've talked about Paul's doctrine. We've talked about the risen Savior. We've talked about the King James Bible. We've talked about spiritual circumcision, imputation. We've talked about all those basic essentials, I call them, the risen Savior taught to Paul to teach to us. Now, let's get into the music. Let's see what this is about God wanting to hear melody. Let's answer some of those questions. And I've got some other things I'll talk to you Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And what about Moses and Amos and David? What can he teach us about music? Oh, it's absolutely fascinating study, folks. We'll talk to you on Monday. I hope you're there.